Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. We'll sing that. We'll sing a couple of verses of it later in the service. But you know, when I hear that, my mind goes to that scene in the Monty Python movie, The Life of Brian, when the Magi accidentally go to the wrong house and they go through all their stuff with him and then they leave and they realize, oh, it happened actually over there. They'd gone to the wrong baby. Brian. Y'all know. See the movie. My mind also goes to that John Irving novel. Did any of you read A Prayer for Owen Meany? I love that book. But Owen never liked the three kings, especially that gory fourth stanza. We won't sing it this morning, where we say, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. Owen says, that doesn't sound very Christmassy to me. But in the Bible, Matthew tells us that they came from the east, perhaps Persia or Arabia or the Syrian desert. The Bible does not tell us that they were wise, as in wise men still seek him. Traipsing off after a star probably seemed rather foolish to many. And they certainly were not kings, though they were seeking a king. They were magi, which magi are astrologers. And I love this. Three foreigners gazing at their star charts found Jesus after journeying for hundreds of miles and probably about 2 years, while King Herod's Bible scholars missed the Messiah completely, even though they were only 6 miles apart from each other. I don't know if you know that Jerusalem and Bethlehem are right next to each other. It makes me wonder how many times I too have flipped through the Bible holding truth in my hands and yet maybe have still missed the living Lord. We know quite a few Bible things, but I wonder, are we personally acquainted with the real Jesus? Dante in the Paradiso of the Divine Comedy spoke of God as the love that moves the sun and the stars. I think that when we experience that kind of love, that we are in that real and that personal relationship with Jesus. But back to our Magi. What did they see? A supernova? Jupiter and Saturn were in conjunction at that time. Halley's Comet had passed not long before. The medieval writers believed that the Magi saw a bright angel, which they mistook for a star. The first Noel that we sang seems to think that the star was so bright that it was visible even by day. It gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. And so the Magi, bearing gifts, they traversed afar. During December, or even earlier for some, we slip very easily into the roles of the Magi. We bear gifts. Some of us do indeed traverse afar, and like the Magi, we pop in with our gifts and then we leave. Remember, they didn't stick around very long with the Lord Jesus, certainly not like Mary and Joseph, his parents. And I wonder, too, if we also keep our distance, even while feeling pretty good about it, since, after all, we did give Jesus a few gifts. We paid our offering. We said some prayers. We read the story. We sang the carols. We lit the candles. We took some canned goods to the food pantry. It's all good. But sometimes I get frustrated about the over-commercialization of Christmas. And I wonder if we could blame that on the Magi for kickstarting the whole idea of gift-giving at Christmas. Jesus certainly didn't remember that the Magi had come with gifts and then commanded us, because I was born, you shall all shop for each other on my birthday. That didn't come from Jesus. Yet there is something lovely in seizing upon this season of the Lord's coming to traverse far and be as generous as possible with those we love. Maybe the Magi can teach us something about giving. And let's start with this question. What would a baby do with gold, incense, much less myrrh? Theologians have suggested that the gifts symbolize three things about Jesus: his royalty as a king, gold you would bring to a king, his divinity, frankincense, which was used in the temple for assisting with the prayers and incense, and then his suffering, myrrh, was an embalming oil. But it's really, we don't really know that that was the Magi's intent in these gifts. What we do know is that they brought gifts of immense value. They brought what was precious to themselves. They parted with what they adored so that they could adore the Lord. We are not always so wise in our giving. I don't traverse very far at all when I shop online from my comfy chair at home, all because it is easier and more convenient for me, certainly. And then there's convenience for the recipient, hence the myriad choices of gift cards. This week, I read about someone who spent Christmas Day with his grandchildren, who already owned a lot of stuff, unwrapping gift cards and then swapping them like trading cards with cousins, and then rushing the next day out to the mall to buy more things. But then I think of the times when I have gone to considerable trouble to get just the right gift, or times when someone made something for me with her own hands. Not easy, not returnable, but profound and loving. In our family, we give each other family treasures. Sometimes these gifts are a way of moving stuff from my house to my cousin's house, or from my mom's house, and more likely my mom's house in Wisconsin, to my house. And sometimes these gifts are more of a joke than a treasure, though maybe the joke is the treasure. And then there are surprise treasures. Like when my aunt sent me an old tin box of handkerchiefs that had been my grandmother's. And when I opened it, I inhaled the scent of her house, now so long since sold, but I still was immediately transported to 1190 Berkeley Ave in Claremont, California, and a host of childhood memories. I keep that tin box on my dresser, and about once a year, that's all, I open it for a brief journey back in time and place, because I fear if I open it too often, it will go away. These are gifts that keep on giving. These are gifts from the heart to the heart. And this is the way that God gives. Well, no, God isn't Santa feverishly checking our requests and then sending the angels out to give us whatever we ask for. No, God gives us that which is far better than our deepest desiring. God gives what all good gifts turn out to be. God gives of his own self. Nobody asked for a baby in a cow stall, but that's what God wanted to give. And God knew that that alone would express the depth of his love and the love that we need from him. My guess is that after giving the gifts to Jesus, the Magi already knew not to return to nasty King Herod. But still, God lovingly warns them. And so they left for their own country by another road. They took a different highway. And I imagine Matthew, when he was writing this, winking a little bit and hoping we will notice this subtle clue about what is life like after we have met Jesus. Because nothing is the same. You find yourself going another way. T.S. Eliot ended his poem, The Journey of the Magi, with thoughts about what the Magi might have been thinking at this time. This is what he says. We returned to our places, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. Jesus does not make life more comfortable. Jesus doesn't help me fit in and succeed. Because once we have met Jesus, we are not at ease anymore in the world which is not committed to Jesus. A strange, unfamiliar road is now our path. But this road is going somewhere. Amen.